My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
6:02 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris is on medical leave. Get your feet on the floor. Jumpstart your Friday. It's your boys.
It's your boys.
That's right. Gonna talk some Orioles, Astros. Glenn Clark gonna join us. Melissa Kim's gonna join us a little bit later as well.
So the Glenn Clark thing. Hello, I'm sorry. I just saw the look on your face because I immediately want to tease the Glenn Clark thing that we're going to do later and what we're going to talk about. But screw you, Rob. You're going to give me a dirty look first thing in the morning because I wasn't paying attention to what you said.
If you said Kikuchi, what am I supposed to say?
Kikuchi?
If I say Melissa Kill's going to be on the show, what are you supposed to say?
Hello.
There you go.
Okay.
Hello is...
That's trippy.
Trippy. You say trippy.
What happens if they have a kid together? Hala. That's basically what I'm doing. But yeah, so we get a chance to talk to Melissa Kim. And
I hope neither one of them has significant others. They might have the baby together.
Trippy's like, hello, I'm here. But yeah, it's going to be fun today.
But Glenn Clark.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you and I, there's a lot to talk about in what Glenn Clark wrote yesterday on social media about where, I don't want to say where we started, because I think you started somewhere else, but here in Baltimore, mm-hmm. You know, with the old radio station.
Thank you for saying that, because yeah. People swear I got my start in radio as Rob from Woodlawn, when nothing could be further from the truth. It's not. That's how I started here. Yeah. The radio before I got here.
So, lots of cool stories and lots of fun things, lots of nasty things I have to say about someone. I guess if the word fits there, I guess it does. Double entendre.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well, you and I left on a different terms.
I'll tell you my whole story and what went down when we get there.
You were pushed out. I said, see ya. And I was dog. I can't believe you would leave here. I said, well, you're all going to leave here soon. Mm-hmm. No, he would never do that. Okay.
But the one thing is right. I'm getting ahead of this, but we're obviously going to do it later. But Glenn Clark wrote us, it was an anniversary of something of the station basically shutting down
10 years ago yesterday.
Yeah. And everybody started talking about, I hate saying talent, but that's all the talent that was there that is now everywhere else. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a nice jumping off point. And he called it Barstool before Barstool. And I think it was I think that's fairly accurate.
Absolutely,
you know?
It was.
A lot of guys that cared about their team, the callers got to call in and have their time. I really loved that station, but somebody ruined it for me. Oh, the owner.
So I loved it because it was unscripted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You were able to be, it was your personality. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could talk about anything you want except Brian Billick. Why is that? Oh, and then he invested in the radio station. Oh, okay. We can't talk bad about him because that's apparently where you're getting your information from. Jackass. I'm in some kind of mood today.
It's obvious. So
there might be still something in my system. I don't know.
Might be. I do remember this, Ben. What day was it you got fired? Was it Thursday or Friday?
Oh, it was a Tuesday.
Tuesday. You got fired Tuesday. That Sunday, he shows up at the Ravens game. And he's walking. And this is not TV, but I want to show you, Ben. He's walking with his chest out and his arms behind him. His fingers are like parallel to the ground.
You're talking about me?
Yeah, you. He walks into the section looking around for him. I got up like, dude, do you remember this?
Yeah.
Dude, don't do this. Don't do it. No. Where's that son of a bitch? Yeah. Where is he? I said, dude, don't do this.
For people that...
So finally, I was able, I don't think I was able to calm him down. I was able to convince him. I don't think calming down would be the right appropriate term. I convinced him. While you talk, I'm going to do something to help myself up.
Yeah, I'll get it, man. Go ahead. You relax. I can talk from back here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Open that door. No. But the story behind that, in which, look, I know we're going to have so many stories later on.
Oh, man, it's just, you could go all day. So you're not burning the segment.
Yeah, my mom had never been to a Ravens game. Right. She is a big Ravens fan. So I asked for the first time ever for Ravens tickets if somebody could hook me up. And they're like, okay, we'll get you tickets. Well, then I got fired in such a weird way, which we'll get to later. And in the basement where I got fired, there were two envelopes. One had my severance pay and Ravens tickets. Or I'm sorry, one had severance pay, and one had severance pay minus the cost of whatever he charged me for those Ravens tickets. And then looking at me like, which one do you want?
Promised your mom.
I promised. He told me I had tickets for, so I had to take the other one or disappoint my mom.
Right.
But the best part about this is the guy that fired me, guess who I sat next to the whole effing time? Him. That's why I was looking for, because I knew he was going to be in that section. And sure enough, you know, it's like... It's just frustrating, man. You're getting out there, and I've said this before. I grew up white trash. I don't care. Like, you'll see me going after people on Twitter. When I get my shovel out today, I'm going to talk about the goofball I went after yesterday. So
your severance pay was minus the tickets.
He charged me full price for those tickets, which I'm betting he got for free, and took it out of my severance pay. Yeah. I worked 7 days a week. You and I were doing weekend shows because we liked Saturday working
show.
Together.
Yeah, yeah. The only way you could do a Saturday show is you had somebody, one of the quote-unquote full-timers, do a show with you, but he wasn't paying for it.
Yeah, so Rob did it.
Nobody was going to do that. And I thought, you know, I thought Jeremy was going to be good on air. So I said, you know, I'll come in on a Saturday.
And Rob was wrong. but like, you know, there's so many stories that come back from that station, and some things I can't even tell on the air that would just be unfair to other people. We had some weirdos we worked with. God bless them, but we had some weirdos, man.
I laugh because people who try to get into business now, they say, well, I'm not working there for that. And I think to myself, do you realize the times I work for free? For free.
My whole first year in radio.
I didn't realize, because I started off in the 90s in hip-hop and R&B radio, and I was on the weekends. Yeah, whatever. And we didn't really have... On the weekends, you don't have endorsements and things like that. You know what I mean? You just come to work, you do your job, and that's it. So, you know, when you start doing a day part, and for the weekday, it becomes a different thing. You get these endorsements and all these things. I didn't know you were supposed to get paid for doing commercials and appearances until I left there. And I went to Fox 1370.
You mean
that's what I found out when I went, because Coors Light came with me. And a month later, I got a check, and it had additional money on it. And I'm like, because one thing you get scared of when you're used to just making what you make, when people start adding things to it, because if you spend it, the last thing you want is them to say, oh, we gave you this
especially
by accident.
If you don't know where it came from.
And you don't have the money. You don't. You know. You need the money. It's one thing if you put the check in the bank and you don't need it all. You always come back and write them another check. So I remember going to him saying, well, what's the extra money for? It was Coors Light, and I want to say it was, I got the endorsement for Chicken Box Friday at the Rooster. Those two were on my check. I said, I get paid off of it? Yeah, it's your endorsement. And then I got the endorsement and the sale.
Yeah.
Because I brought them in. And I'm looking at this like, you get paid extra for this? They said, yeah. Then I had an appearance for Coors Light maybe a couple of months later. And it was more extra money. I'm like, well, because Coors Light go up. No, you had an appearance. In your contract is appearance fee. So I remember going to the people in Coors Light and said, is this new?
Yeah.
No, you've always had that in there.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
A lot of shady stuff.
The Cavassier commercial that people love, that absolutely love, that people still quote nowadays, I never saw a dime off that. I didn't even get a free bottle of Cavassier for that.
I know what the XO is. So... To your point about those things, Rob, like, I had two separate incidents there, and just looking at the two things specifically, and you'll understand both. I got a guest from, I think it was betonsports.com. I don't even know if that place is in existence.
Right.
But a lot of shady,
I remember them.
A lot of shady things with the overseas gambling stuff, because a lot of times they would sign on, spend money, and then bail.
Right.
Because now you're bringing in the audience you want, or at least the clientele you want initially, and then they bail. It happens all the time in this industry. So because of the guest I had on that worked for Bet on Sports, he said, hey, you know, my company's interesting in advertising. I was like, oh, have them call me. So they called me. I set it up. It's a six-figure deal. You want to know how much I got paid off of it?
Zero.
Zero.
Exactly.
They took the sale, paid themselves, and like, hey, this is great. Like they found the lead.
You were told it's your job.
And my favorite one ever is when the steroid controversy stuff came down. And Rafael Palmeiro was on, you know, he's down pointing his fingers, all this stuff. CNN called in the morning when I was producing the morning show, and they were asking for somebody to come on TV. Now, as a guy that's been in radio for a few years, to get a chance to go on national TV,
yeah.
I was so effing excited to do it. Because they said, are you on the air there? I said, I host the night show, and you know, I help produce the morning show, and I'm, you know, kind of a third wheel here. They're like, you're perfect. Let's do it this evening before your night show. I'm like, oh, this is great. Do you know what happened with this?
Yep, I know.
I called the boss there so excited that I was going to be on TV to tell him the good news. He took it from me. And if you've been in this business for 4 years, how do you say, no, you can't take that from me, that's for me? He wanted to represent his radio station. So he took my opportunity so his narcissistic ass could get on TV and spout off like he always does, you know? And again, I'll say this, that cat is the worst person I've ever met that's never really committed a crime. So piss on you, Nestor. I'm in some kind of mood. Like we can, hey, let's choose violence. Let's see what happens today.
Okay. Orioles baseball up next on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
617 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I think he's ready to play that song for you. Simmer down there, buddy, because the gummies didn't work last night.
Try something new.
Evidently. Birds lose 6-0 last night, and once again, Corbin Burns did not look like Corbin Burns. I said to you before, Jeremy, remember I said this last week?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's saying They'd re-sign Burns. And I said, one of the things you got to look at with Burns, this is the first year that he's going to have more innings pitched than strikeouts. To me, that's a red flag. When you are a power pitcher and those numbers flip, that is a red flag. Corbin Burns, the last 3 or 4 starts, has not looked like Corbin Burns.
So, no, I mean, before this start, and you guys obviously know how last night went, he'd given up 15 runs. Granted,
three starts?
The last three starts before last night. And, you know, last night you see the—
20 runs and 4 starts.
Yeah. So, and maybe as you look at it, it gets a little bit better. But I agree with Rob, too. This isn't me saying I don't want them to sign Corbin Burns, but when you look deeper into the analytics and the numbers, I think there's going to be that, well, wait a minute. We get a first-round pick if he walks. Like, we can go that route and find somebody else. You know, we had the news with Trevor Rogers, which I'm assuming we'll get to all that stuff. But yeah, like, last night was tough because you're playing mediocre baseball at best right now. At best. Since the All-Star break. And then now we're at a position where you're looking around the league, and it's not like other teams are running away with it, except for the team you're playing now. They're the hottest team in baseball, the Astros. They went from, like, you think about their season. Remember how we were dog cussing them in like April and into May? Like, man, what's going on with this team? They're out of it. You can't win the pennant in April and May is what they say, but you can lose it. That's how everybody was feeling. And then now they turn this thing on. The Mariners suck. They just fired their manager. So they make their run back into it, and now they're getting healthy. They made a trade for Yusei Kikuchi.
Kikuchi.
Thank you. You were on top of that. I know you were waiting for it. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very dangerous team. And then you trot out what you believe to be your best pitcher. May end up being Suarez this weekend. You trot out what you believe to be your best pitcher, and, you know, the offense didn't help you out it last night at all.
No, they scored no runs. Keep in mind, folks, this was a 2-0 game going into the sixth inning. What if the Orioles are up 3-2? Do you still get that 4-run, 6-8? Because pitchers, and we said this just yesterday, pitchers tend to pitch a little tighter in close games when they're on the wrong side of it. They do. They tend to not want to make mistakes, even pitchers like Corbin Burns. And when your offense is scoring nothing, and they did that all night, you had 3 hits. What do they have the day before? 3 hits?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't win that way. I'm going to see they had 3 hits. I know they had 3 hits on Tuesday, too. And it would be in no hit going late into that game. So they had 9 hits in the last 3 games.
So, yeah, I mean, the offense has been wanting it best. And by the way, the other thing, remember I talked about how they've struggled against left-handed pitching. I didn't have to see that last night, but you did see 3 left-handers in New York. And
I'm sorry, no, they had 11 hits on Tuesday. My bad.
So Rob, the other part of this too, and just talking about it, by no means are either one of us, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong, are saying Corbin Burns is done, that he wouldn't be a good signing in the offseason. My thought process on this, especially with baseball and guaranteed contracts, it is better to let somebody go too soon, yep, rather than too late.
My thoughts on him is this. The red flag was more innings than strikeouts. More innings pitched than strikeouts. He does not do that during his career. If you're going to sign him, buyer beware. You know, I'm not signing him for that price that people think that he's going to go for. If he's going to go for that, fine. He's not getting that from me. He won't. And he has Scott Boras as his agent. Corbin Burns may end up being a guy like Blake Snell and all those guys getting a 1-year deal, show me deal. At this rate, again, in 2020, he pitched 59 2/3 innings. Let me go back before then. In 2019, he pitched 49 innings. He was a reliever at the time. 49 innings, he had 70 strikeouts. The next year, pandemic season, 59 2/3, 88 strikeouts. The following year, 167 innings, 234 strikeouts. The next year, 202 innings. He led the league in strikeouts with 243. Last year, it started coming back closer to one another. Last year, 193 2/3 innings, 200 strikeouts. This year, it flips. 159 1/3 innings, 146 strikeouts. Jeremy, those numbers have flipped. His ERA went from 2.11. Then a league high, the league best, I should say, 2.43. Then 2.94. Last year, 2.39. So it's going in the wrong direction is all I'm saying. So when you start, and that's why from the very beginning, for me, it's, you know, when people, is Santander or is it Burns? It's Santander. For me, it's Santander. And keep in mind, although he did not make the final decision, Sigma Dell was in the room when the Cardinals decided that they had gotten their better days out of Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
Sigma Dell was in that room.
And that's a tough thing to, I mean, it's a tough thing to say and to actually do. I mean, you're trying to make a call here on a Hall of Fame type player. And look, Albert Pujols, Hall of Fame player. Corbin Burns, we'll see what his career ends up being. But, you know, a lot of these pitchers, too, when you get a little bit later in your career, you start to reinvent how you pitch. We've heard this about how many different guys, right? Big-time arms. Maybe you're not getting the strikeout stuff anymore, so I got to work on getting ground balls. I'm not even saying that's what Corbin Burns is, but the last stretch, not so much last night. I mean, it's just, I think that looms large because of how they've been playing, and he's your stopper. He's the guy you expect to go, okay, we're going to go out there and get a win now and make sure we get a win against a big opponent. And over the past couple starts, yeah, I think there are some questions. I still want him to be game one starter in the postseason. There's no question about that. But I do think you got to look a little deeper when you're talking about signing a guy to a long-term deal when all the money's guaranteed.
I want Corbin Burns here because I think ultimately, for at least for the next 3 to 4 years, he's a guy that can get outs. He's a guy that's going to have a very respectable ERA. What I'm saying is he just might not be the dude that is going to command. He may get it, but I don't know if he's the dude that's going to warrant that $40 million deal that we talked about. I don't know if he's that guy. Mm. I don't.
It's tough, man.
I give him 25.
It's so weird. I didn't think we'd be talking
maybe
about
30
at this point. Yeah.
But not that front of the, no.
Well, how concerned are you about this weekend?
Against the Astros?
Yeah. I didn't check all the pitching matchups yet to see who's facing who. Hunter Brown's been really good for them in the second half of the season. Kikuchi. I think the guy's fantastic.
And yeah, Hunter Brown tonight against Cade Povich.
So
tomorrow for Valdez versus Suarez.
And by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, the Houston Astros still don't have Kyle Tucker back yet, right?
No.
Oof.
No.
Boy, oh boy, oh
so
boy.
Your ace is on the mound Saturday. You should be all right.
Who?
Suarez.
He is right now. Hell, guy's been pitching great. You can't
Suarez
take it away
from
him.
Is your ace.
I don't want to hear that.
Oh, no. You don't have to want to hear it.
You pulled out a joker is what you pulled out. It can be anything you want it to be. Right now, it's the ace. Guess what it'll be next week? Bullpen.
What's trending at 6:45, but on the other side, the O's had another roster move. Are you starting to believe that maybe they either believe in the system or are we seeing desperation? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Urshan, baby. It's Ben's last day playing stripper songs.
It'll make you a hoe.
What does it make you?
A worker. We were talking about strip clubs yesterday, right?
Orioles made the following roster moves. This is from yesterday. Activated infielder Manuel Rivera. Selected the contract of Matt Bowman. Recall Nick Vespi. They optioned Trevor Rogers. They optioned Colin Selby. They optioned LeVon Soto. And they designated Bruce Zimmerman for assignment. It's one thing to believe in your system. It's another thing to be desperate. Which one are they?
I think it's a little bit of both.
They desperately believe it in the system?
Well, I'd say this too. Like, I need to see if this is just a move to bring in some fresh arms and adjust some things. We've seen this before where a guy gets sent down, but he's not really sent down. I want to find out, is this Trevor Rogers being sent down to go there and get right? Or is this a cup of coffee? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I need to see from them, because for a team that's dying for pitching and everybody's going to beat them up, you traded for a pitcher that you're just going to send down. Conversely speaking, I would say the same thing when you look at it. They give up two prospects, which both are now at the major league level with the Marlins. But they haven't hit the way they should. They haven't played the way they should. And you still have 2 years of control over Trevor Rogers. And I know people are going to go, if you have 2 years control over trash, what does it matter? I think he's better than that. I think you're going to see that.
I think an offseason is going to do him fine. Yes. I'm okay with Trevor Rogers.
Yes.
I'm not okay with him, you know, no, flopping it up there right now, but I'm okay with Trevor Rogers.
Yeah, so he can take that good stuff to the minors that he had. What was that, Monday or Tuesday? The hard part about this is there have been so many injuries, and then you got to get to the point where it's like, all right, there are other teams dealing with injuries. By the way, the Braves, they're on the verge of missing the playoffs now.
Yeah, badly.
I mentioned that a month ago, and somebody told me I'm crazy. I said, do you think they can miss the playoffs? And then they had even more injuries after that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, it is a reason. I don't know that it's necessarily an excuse. I don't think it's the full reason of why they've struggled.
410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Ethan in Pennsylvania. What's up, Ethan? Ethan?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. I think that, you know, there's no question in what the organization and Mike Elias has done developing the guys that he has drafted, but I think it's safe to say, aside from a handful of guys like Eflin, a few outings from Stranthony Dominguez, Kyle Gibson last year, that Mike Elias is 0-for-2 at the trade deadline and in this past offseason when it comes to acquiring MLB-ready talent. Look at all the failures in Fuji, Cole Irvin. Maybe it's just a wash.
You think Corbin Burns was not a good get?
That was a good get, but okay. Aside from him, it was only Craig Kimbrel.
Okay. All right. You're being selective. You're remembering Craig Kimbrel, but you're not remembering Corbin Burns. You're saying 0-for-2, but those aren't the only trade deadline moves he made. I guess Yennier Cano means nothing from 2 years ago, who also got you Cade Povich in that trade as well. And last year, and my question to you is this, Ethan. Look at the talent you have in the minors. Who are you willing to give up, and who are you willing to give them up for?
I'm only referring to once they've been in this competitive window of acquiring MLB-ready talent. Povich and Cano.
They were a competitive window in 2022. They were, I think, two or three games out of the wild card back then.
I think there's some validity to what Ethan's saying, but I also think you're kind of missing some stuff here with these players because
there's the definite validity, but I think he's picking just what negative, but over the big scale, I don't think it's a loss. I can't deny this year they got nothing. They got nothing this year, but they gave up nothing.
By the way, who was the biggest player traded at the trade deadline? Because Scooble didn't get traded. Crochet. Is it Jack Flaherty, who we saw here Eflin? Last year?
Eflin? Eflin's arguably the biggest player traded. I mean, a pitcher that is. And thanks a lot for the call, Ethan. And I'm not doubting it. I'm not saying he's not valid in what he's saying. I just think You can't take the big picture. Just take the negative out and say you failed because of that negative when the big picture is part of it all.
I mean, my point that I was trying to make is that, like, I understand what he's saying, but also it goes back to, remember when the Ravens drafted Matt Elam? And everybody said, it was a terrible pick. Well, who'd you want? That was one of the worst drafts I've ever seen from a talent standpoint. The same thing. It's who's available and what are teams asking for. Like, all these people that were screaming, you should have got Tarik Skubal, were you ready to give up? And now they've seen Kobe Mayo in the majors, so maybe they're more. Were you ready to give up two or three of your best prospects to go get Tarik Skubal? He's had two Tommy John surgeries. I know he's going to win the Cy Young this year. He's a great pitcher. If you were willing to do that, hats off to you. I didn't want to see him do that. This is a team still where you're figuring out who you're going to pay, if you're going to be able to keep them, and you keep that farm system going. And I know everybody doesn't, we'll be great in 2028 or something. No, it's about maintaining and staying. You got to admit, though, like, it's not an excuse. They have had a ton of injuries, a ton, and still weathered this storm. But they're a very mediocre-looking team right now.
410-583-1057, Jake in Baltimore. What's up, Jake?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm a first-time caller here. I'm a teacher heading into work. I listen to you guys every morning. Just love what you guys do.
Thanks, Jake.
There's one topic I haven't heard talked about yet. And it's the potential of signing Trevor Bauer. I know he's got some history.
I think the potential is the wrong word, but we'll go ahead.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. There's some clips online. I know that, there's not much that goes into that, but he looks decent, and I know we need some pitching help, and he would sign for the minimum contract, and the man hasn't been convicted of anything. So I'm like, I don't know, something interesting. Oh, I'll take my call.
No, Jake, please don't hang up, Jake. Please don't, because part of it is you answering some questions. Who else are the Orioles the only team that needs pitching?
No, the Orioles are not the only team that needs pitching.
But no one will sign Trevor Bauer, right?
That's true.
So my thing is, everybody keeps saying he's not convicted of anything. Maybe people in baseball know something that you don't know. Because if everybody needs pitching but no one will sign him, there's got to be something else that comes along with Trevor Bauer. And the fact that no one – Jeremy, you talked earlier about someone who never been convicted, but you hate the man.
Yeah.
How many people will hire that guy? And he's never been convicted of anything. That's just being a bad person, not doing a bad act. But my point is, just because a person is not convicted does not mean – that they're a person that you want around them.
There are rumors and some of the things that I'd heard, whether they're true or not, about, I do think he's been blackballed. I don't think he's ever getting in the league. By the way, looking, and I do want to say this, looking at the Mexican League numbers, I know he's got a, what is it, a 2.59 ERA, or what, no, I'm sorry, 2.48 ERA. But the fact of the matter is, Robinson Cano is one of the best hitters in that league. Like
he's not playing baseball here.
Yeah, he hasn't played baseball in, what, 4 years and been relative here. And, like, so I'm not buying those stats. But the other thing that I've heard is that there's other stuff out there that they don't want to come out if he's in the league and have to answer for it. So, yes, I absolutely 100% think he's being blackballed the same way Ray Rice was when all that went down and he was treated and for two different things in what we saw. But the other thing with Trevor Bauer is he's not likable by a lot of these teams.
Yeah, that's what I was alluding to. Nothing. That's why I compared it to what you said earlier. I wasn't alluding to anything illegal. I was alluding to the fact that, you know, I mean, I don't think this is the same guy that was pitching in with blood dripping from his hand in a playoff game because he decided he wanted to go and
play with his drone.
You know what I mean? This is not – I hear you guys defending him, and that's fine. Or not in your case, not defending him. It's questioning why. But it's my opinion, Jake, that if no one is signing him and everybody needs pitching, there's a reason. Hey, man, thanks a lot for teaching and travels to work, man.
Tell the kids not to listen to us. Hey, the other thing with Trevor Bauer, too, is whether the rumors are true or not, there's that story that there's a tape out there somewhere. And the MLB does not want that to get out, a sex tape where it's physical and all these other things.
And if there is one. Think about this, Jeremy. No one's going to release that tape while he's irrelevant. They're going to wait until he's relevant. When is he relevant? When somebody signs him.
I think everybody bringing up Trevor Bauer, I don't think he pitches in the major leagues ever again. It's the same. You can look at Colin Kaepernick. You can look at Trevor Bauer. You can look at Ray Rice.
And I'm glad you said Colin Kaepernick because when you said Ray Rice, that's the name I was searching for. What was the other guy blackballed?
I think all three of them were for different reasons.
I couldn't find his name. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Let's get this guy because we're not talking O's for a while. Let's go out to the BQ. What's up?
Hello.
What's going on? Good morning.
I thought maybe Trippy was running through
no,
BQ. Because we were talking. Man. He said he's going out there to take over.
He don't let Trippy in BQ. But go ahead. What's up?
Trippy's scared to come out there, man. But that's another story. But, man, listen. Hey, man. I was going to bust your chops, man, about the Cubs.
Don't even start. I'm ready to fight those sons of bitches, too, man.
I know you want to talk about that at 9:30, man. Yeah. But, man, y'all was talking about
that. Hold on, man. They gave up a grand slam to the 9-hole hitter when it's really difficult to hit home runs yesterday. Then Miguel Amaya, the 9-hole hitter in a grand slam in the second inning. And those sons of bitches, the Cubs, teased me all the way into the seventh inning to say, you know what? We'll end it now. We'll end it a little early for you.
Could you?
Oh, man. I like this Jeremy, man. Like the violent, angry one, man, in the morning, man. You know? Like, you know, he's ready to beat people. Hey, Rob, why you let him beat that guy up, man?
What guy?
He should. Down at the, well, y'all was talking about the opening segment, man.
His friends don't let friends get locked up.
Man, he would have been out by now, got a little probation for judgment, cleaned up some trash in Middle River or something like that, man.
I'd have been listening to the radio show and said, this Rashawn guy sounds cool. I'm going to send you a message on social media so you can get me a job where you work. So you can watch me work.
Hey, Rashawn, guess what? Rashawn, you ran out of time, man. You got to go. Gotta go.
How did he run out of time with me screaming during it?
I'm just saying. You shouldn't have taken his bad stop.
Call back later is Larry in Pikesville.
What's trending? Reaction to the Ravens joint practice with the Packers yesterday. Up next on The Fan. What's trending in social media? The joint practice of the Baltimore Ravens and the Green Bay Packers yesterday. I heard Rashad Bateman had a strong practice. Looked really good. Jordan Love presented a challenge for the Ravens defense down in the red zone. But Bateman looked good.
Yeah, I mean, a couple other things that kind of stood out. And you need Bateman to be good. I went on national radio last night, and they were asking me about who's the standout guy on offense. It's like, it's really tough to pick somebody. But if Bateman steps forward, or at least steps up, however you want to put it, I think this offense is, like, all bets are off. You now have weapons at every single position on offense. There's no more excuses from that standpoint. But the one thing, I kept saying I wasn't worried about the offensive line, and I still need to see it in the regular season. It's still preseason football. One good thing that we saw was at Rosengarten that stood up Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
One play they were talking about that it looked really good. Other than that, it sounded like Lamar was running for his life. So that's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign at all.
You did get to see, you know, like the cool thing is watching your secondary go up against this young wide receiving core, those one-on-ones, or even if we're looking at, you know, 7-on-7 or even, you know, in scrimmage things, but there's all types of things you can do there. Those are the matchups I wanted to see.
Yeah, the matchups I wanted. I thought the skill position players on offense looked pretty good. I thought the skill position players on the defense looked really good. Jordan Love was, man, if that's what looking, that's, is he going to be the best quarterback on the schedule for the Baltimore Ravens? No, no. And he looked good, man. His presence was unreal. And I thought for the most part he had too much time to look over the receivers, look over the defense, especially down there in the red zone.
Yeah, I saw some of the other reports too saying that when they got into the red zone offense for the Ravens, that the Packers D line was just eating their lunch.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of things to take away from it. And I think you're in the same group with me that I get more out of these joint practices and scrimmage, or at least I feel like you can get more out
yes.
of that than you can in these preseason
yeah.
games.
Yeah, because it's all about technique. Nobody wanted to hurt Lamar, but they were trying to get their job done. You know, once they got close to him, I believe there could have been, in a game situation, there'd been some sacks.
Yeah.
But I just didn't like what I saw, like you said, on the offensive line. I think it's coachable, though. I do. I think what you saw yesterday, and if the coaches were honest with you, they'd tell you what you saw yesterday was more important to them evaluating to see what they need to do moving forward than anything that they've done so far this year.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I get that. And, you know, in these practices, playing a team like Green Bay, I think it's great in the preseason, or at least in these joint practices, to get to see a team that I think is going to surprise a lot of people this year.
Packers?
And, yeah, I don't think
they're my dark horse team.
I don't think I should be saying that they're going to surprise people, because they went into the playoffs last year. They won a game.
But I don't think anybody's taking them serious, though, Jeremy. Yeah. I think it is a surprise, honestly. How many people are going to pick the Packers?
Nobody. Everybody's picking the Lions.
I think the Packers are going to be really good. I'm probably biased because I'm a big Jordan Love fan now. Wasn't coming out of college. Didn't like him, didn't dislike him. Just didn't have an opinion about him.
I didn't see what everybody saw in him.
Yeah, just to have. But now, well, Matt LaFleur, you know, that was Matt LaFleur's pick.
Yeah.
Over everybody. They let Matt LaFleur pick his quarterback.
But don't forget, speaking of picking his quarterback, they traded up to get him.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why Aaron Rodgers was bitching, like, go get me a wide receiver. What are you drafting a backup quarterback?
Oh, we want you to leave.
Yeah.
Matt LaFleur doesn't like him.
Yeah.
Jeremy, I think the NFL.
Why don't you name the people that do like Aaron Rodgers?
Me.
It's a shorter list.
Me.
Rob.
Yes. I think the NFL would be okay. How many people really go to preseason games?
It looks very empty out
okay.
there.
Now, imagine if you did the same thing as a joint practice. I think you might get more people. Yeah. Cheaper tickets, maybe. Have a cheaper rate to get in. M&T Bank Stadium. You may get more people to see a joint practice. Well,
but you know why?
You have multiple things going on at one time. I think a lot of NFL fans think that's cooler than a preseason game where you don't see the players that they know.
Yeah, and the thing I like about these joint practices is that you get to set up situational things that
yeah.
you want to look at. Okay, I want to see what this play looks like against this. I want to see what this guy looks like if we make this play. Does this work in the red zone? And again, with the joint practices, I feel like you're more than willing to run some of the things that you're going to run in the regular season if you're not playing that opponent, because a lot of that stuff's not going to be on film. Whereas in preseason, it's just so vanilla to me. That's why I hate preseason football.
Now, they do one. Eliminate their other preseason games, do that once. How many fans do you think will go in and pay for that? I think a lot of fans. Charge $20.
Yeah.
$20 a person. Come
More
on in.
More people will want to come watch the players they want to see. And that's not me dogging these other guys, because everybody's trying to earn their spot, earn their keep on this team. But, again, is that something you want to watch?
You hear fans like E from Park Heights. Say he likes to see the other guys evaluate him. Those guys get on the field too. So E will still get that. But E's kid, he said he likes to go to preseason game, wants to take his kid. His kid will get the chance to see Lamar Jackson too.
Yeah.
So you'll get both. And for those of you to say you use the preseason to take your kids, a joint practice, charge $20. It'd be a lot of kids there. I just think it's better on the eyes than a preseason football game.
So I was more worried about the pass rush than the offensive line. I've been hearing good things about Owe and Ojabo.
Yeah,
Ojabo had a couple of nice rushes yesterday. A few hurries, Rob. I'll put that in this category, hurry. Did he touch anyone? Oh, it's quarterback touch. You know, like you look at that part of the game, because you let Jadeveon Clowney walk and you really didn't replace him. So that's something. And I know you had to be sweating bullets the same way I was when I heard Kyle Hamilton went down with an injury.
Yeah.
And then finding out it's probably not as significant as everyone was worried about.
Does Lamar Jackson prove once again that he is a big national celebrity? We'll talk about that at 7:15. But on the other side, you know, we kind of alluded to it. You watched yesterday. Most of you did. At this point, are you just over the preseason? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.